listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Welcome to another episode of Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am one of your hosts, LaShar Binkley. I am the director of basketball operations for Overtime Heroics. I am a contributor for Space City Scoop. Of course, I'm a podcast host for Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Podcast Media Network. And you can find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps.
And I'm your second host, Anthony Duckett. And you can find me on Twitter at @A_Duckett. I'm also the site expert for Space City Scoop, Launchpad co-host for Apollo Media, and also writer for Overtime Heroics. Be sure to follow the official Apollo Media account at Apollo Houston, as well as hitting the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, or listen to your podcast. We will greatly appreciate it.
All right. So today, we're going to, of course, as usual, have our three segments. In the first segment, we're going to be talking about, of course, Kevin Porter Jr. and his great night a couple of nights ago, being the youngest player in NBA history with 50 points and 10 assists. We're definitely going to break that down. We're also going to be talking about in the second segment, kind of talk about the season as a whole, kind of where the Rockets should go during the free agency period into the offseason. And then the third and final segment, we're going to be talking about, we have some questions from actually some of our followers that we got on Twitter. So we're going to be breaking that down, the NBA as a whole. But first, we have a very special guest today, a gentleman myself and Anthony know very well. It's Zach Allen. He's on today's podcast. First off, how you doing today, Zach?
I'm doing really good, man. I'm really honored to be with y'all today. I'm really honored. I'm surprised, like, man, hey, I'm on Anthony LaShar's podcast. No way.
Hey, man, of course, we've been on your podcast before, so, you know, we definitely have to return the favor. That's not a problem. Of course.
Thank you,
man. Before we jump into the actual show, Zach, why don't you let our listeners know where they can find all your work?
So right now, guys, you can find me at Twitter, Renzo De Don. So R-E-N-Z-O-T-H-D-O-N, simple like that. And also you can find me at DreamShake, SB Nation, and ESPN Houston. I do cover the Rockets for those sites. I'm really excited to do what I do. Instagram is the same thing. I have a mailbag just like these guys, so you can ask me anything. If I'm not busy, which I'm never busy. I answer everybody's tweets at work too as well. So just hit me up.
Again, like I said, we're definitely happy to have you on. And so we're going to jump right on into this podcast. And of course, you know, the big news is Kevin Porter Jr.'s, you know, historic night, 50 piece a couple nights ago against the Milwaukee Bucks. So I kind of want to start there. I'll ask you first, Zach, what's been kind of your, well, we'll start with the game. What was your impressions as that game was going on? Did you know that it was something kind of special was happening? You know, the more shots that Kevin Porter Jr. was actually hitting.
To be honest with y'all guys, I was not even watching the game. What I was doing was I was like, this is my moment. Like, I'm going to game Saturday to watch, you know, the Warriors versus the Rockets. He's on the O with, you know, Kevin didn't have such of a good night against Minnesota. But in my mind, I was thinking, let me check on the game, see what's going on. So I'm at a friend's house and we know we're having a casual drinks and stuff like that. Yeah. We're talking with our children. And so I check Bleacher Report and I check Twitter. I'm like, and plus I'm watching the NFL draft on my timeline. Of course, on my Apple Watch, I'm watching. And then I said, someone says, go to the Rockets game. So I go to the stats, right? I go to the page and they have, you know, Kevin Porter doing a little blow by. He's at 33 points. 33 points? What's going on in the water? So I check Bleacher Report and the Rockets are like a little bit down behind the Bucks. They're down by 5. And then I check the stats again. Dude's at 44 points. I'm like, dude, get my Kevin Porter's on a 50-piece watch. And then out of nowhere, like 5 minutes later, the Rockets win, and Kevin has 50. I see Sarge talking about it. I see y'all guys talking about it. And I was like, wow, like, would that just really happen? And my mind was like, I feel like the Rockets are really just Kevin Porter. Like, just in general, just we're talking about Kevin Porter. Kevin Porter is now on schedule, if not way before schedule. Now I wouldn't say, like, he's at the finish line, but he's – above the half mark now. Like, I think he understands what it takes to win a basketball game in a Rockets uniform. And I think he understands, like, I'm the best player on the court. So, like, if who's better between him and Christian Wood? Right now it's Christian Wood, but we all know potentially it could be Kevin Porter because of his skill set and his craftiness and what he can do with the ball. And so I was extremely happy for the guy. Kevin is he's a really shallow guy, really down to earth guy, to himself, easy to talk to. But I know he can be really special one day in the NBA. And I think that night was really good. He was the fourth youngest player in NBA history to score 50 points at that age. And like the only guys who can do that visually, I remember Brandon Jennings doing it in high school. I don't remember about LeBron James because I was too young. I knew about LeBron, but I really wasn't watching LeBron. I was a big Rockets guy. And so those are the only guys who've done it before he did. And it's special to watch what he did in, 50 pieces. I think he's above schedule.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at it, I mean, you got to think about it. He's finally coming into a full actual year NBA basketball on the court. Because last year, his season was cut short, just like everybody else's. He also had some issues, within the Cleveland Cavaliers organization to where he was missing games. So, if you combine the 2 years, he's really playing finally a full year of basketball. So they'd already be, the youngest player in history with a 50-10 and the first Rocket since Eric Gordon, because I got that wrong. I forgot about Eric Gordon's 50-point game. I forgot about that game. It actually happened a month after James Harden's last 50-point game with the Rockets. But to be the first player since then to actually have a 50-point game, I think, like you said, he's definitely ahead of schedule. And let me ask you, Anthony, as you were watching that game, did you kind of see like, okay, this is going to be something special? I mean, Giannis went out a minute into the game, and I think that was definitely a big part of it because, let's be honest, if Giannis is playing, that game's probably not even close enough for him to play that many minutes. So did you kind of see something special happening as he was hitting step-back threes and busting Euro steps on everybody?
Well, at first half, not so much. I mean, he had 18 points, which is good, but – I mean, he really took off in the second half. I mean, he had 15 in the third, and he almost outscored the Bucks in the third quarter. He had 15. They had 25 as a team. Fourth quarter, he went off 17. So I didn't really see a 50-point game based on the first half, yeah. And I definitely didn't think that he would do that on Jrue Holiday, who's one of the better defending guards in the entire league. but to me, it's a good sign of what could happen if he gets a consistent three-point shot. I mean, I've been saying pretty much all season he struggled from three-point range, especially in Houston. But if he can get that three-point shot going, it'll change everything. It'll change so much. I mean, he even had 11 assists in this game, But I'm just happy that he actually put it all together, especially after he played the last game against Minnesota because he really, really struggled. So it was a really good bounce-back game for him.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that's kind of been overlooked is Jrue Holiday is an all-defensive player. Pretty much every single year. And even though – and you got to give Coach Salah some credit because that's what they made a point of doing is running Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood, and a lot of pick and rolls. And what they did is they put Brook Lopez on Kevin Porter Jr. a lot. And whenever Kevin Porter Jr. wasn't taking a shot, he was dumping it down to Christian Wood, who had Jrue Holiday on him. And Christian Wood was actually really aggressive. But before we move on, because actually I want to actually talk about Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood going forward, I want to ask Zach, because he had a really great article about a month ago where he, went back and talked to a lot of people in Kevin Porter Jr.'s past and a lot of people that has helped him along the way. So, Zach, I want to ask you, as you wrote that article, what did you learn anything new about Kevin Porter Jr. that you didn't already know? Or what was kind of your sense that you got from a lot of the people that's kind of helped him, along his basketball journey?
Well, the coolest thing I learned about Kevin Porter's past, I mean, just in Kevin Porter in general, inside his circle, his dad was a great baseball player and a great football player. They said his dad was pitching with 85 in the Little Leagues, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, Coach Beffa, his high school coach mentioned, he was a good kid. He was smart in school. He was very athletic as we see right now. He was just a great person. His mom and that coach keep in touch really well. to this day. And he's always say, you know, him and John, I mean, it's not surprising. John Lucas has connections with everybody. It's shocking, yes. But he has, him and John Lucas have ties. And so, and as he found out he was going to Rockets, he knew John was going to be there. And he knew automatically, like, John is, he's going to take care of him pretty well. And so, you know, and that's what Kevin needs. I don't think he had a support in Cleveland like that. I mean, of course, if you want to say JB Bickerstaff and some teammates, but he needs like real support. Like, John Lucas is probably the best person you can ever relate to. I remember Michael Shapiro wrote that great article with Sports Illustrated about John Lucas, and that was a great article to see where John came from, alcoholism to soberness. And so if you can, you know, talk to Kevin a lot. And also to add to that point, John's the reason why he shot the ball. He's shooting the ball so well. His 3-point shot was, what was he, what, 9-11? What, 9 for 15 from 3 that night?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
They said John Lucas played, you know, he played huge in that aspect of his game. And that's what he needs, like, to be in the NBA and get 50 points. Like, you need to have a 3-point shot. And I think he finally sees his work paying off. And another thing to add to this, you know, Kevin Porter was not the best at taking advantage at mismatches, or he didn't probably know, like, it's a mismatch and take advantage of it. So now you see him on pick and rolls, you see Brook Lopez guarding him. I mean, he gave him the work. He gave Drew Holiday the work too. He gave Drew Holiday the work too. And Tucker got some action too. Tucker got some action too.
Yeah, so, Tucker, I mean, did too.
He got some action. So, I mean, it's good to see him being confident on the court and, you know, and having some of that confidence he had in college and high school. You know, he has to understand, I'm an NBA player. People are looking at me to be the franchise guy. This is my time to shine. And I think John being out probably helped out. I mean, even though he's out with injury, but I think that's the goal for Kevin. Just keep playing with confidence, keep playing through mistakes, and you'll get better like that. Because James Harden, who remembers James Harden having 8 turnovers and still scoring 35 points and winning the game?
Oh yeah, pretty, I mean, and it's kind of funny that you mentioned, like, James Harden. You know, he's definitely still keeping tabs on, you know, a lot of the Rockets players, and he mentioned Kevin Porter Jr. the other day talking about two lefties. So, that's definitely great. And just, you know, kind of piggybacking off of what you said about John Lucas, I mean, John Lucas, I don't know if there's a player in the NBA that John Lucas doesn't know. And I don't think that's actually exaggerating. I think he has ties to almost every single player in the NBA, and he's helped so many players over the years. And I think people just see John Lucas as an assistant. They don't really – but John Lucas is a, you know, he's a huge part. He's probably the biggest part of the Rockets franchise right now. I mean, considering that, you know, Tad Brown is gone, Daryl Morey has already left, you know, a lot of the other people that have been within the organization for a long time left. I mean, John Lucas is really tied, you know, woven within the Rockets organization. So I think that more people should give respect to John Lucas, because especially if Kevin Porter Jr. takes off to the next level, is the biggest reason is going to be because of John Lucas. I mean, let's just be honest. So definitely want to give props out to John Lucas. And before we wrap up this first segment, I want to get your opinion on this as well, Anthony. So I'll start with you. So Christian Wood was saying that he wants to, if I'm not mistaken, I think this was Big Sarge actually asked him this question about being a franchise player. He says that him and Kevin Porter Jr. Can become franchise players, that, you know, they should stick together, and that if they continue to play together, that they're going to be, you know, trouble for the NBA. So what's your opinion on that? Do you think both of those players can become franchise players, like cornerstones for the Rockets?
I mean, in my opinion, yeah. Kevin Porter Jr. is so young, he's only 20 years old, so he's still developing. We've seen flashes of what he can be. You know, I think a full offseason, full training camp with the team, him knowing his role, expectations from Silas will actually help him even more. And Christian Wood, I mean, he's only 25. He actually had a fringe all-star year. I mean, he probably would have got in before the injury, especially considering the late game scratches. So in my opinion, I mean, yeah, they both can be. You know, you pretty much nowadays need a star duo. I don't know if I would yet label either of them as star players yet.
Yeah.
But I think that, like I said, with their age, and then with the crazy year the Rockets have had, they've still, you know, put together some really good showings. In my opinion, yeah, they can be. One thing that Christian Wood said that really kind of stuck out to me is he said, you know, we have to stick together. You know, me and KPJ have to stick together. And to me, if that's their mindset throughout the offseason and the training together and, you know, building chemistry off one another, in my opinion, Christian Wood has some things he needs to work on, especially, you know, he needs to bulk up or at least add some strength or some muscle.
Yeah.
Because I think he kind of gets moved around a little bit too easily in the paint. But at the same token, if he and KPJ are really committed to, you know, to making this work together, I think they definitely can be a star duo. I don't see it as like either one player has to be it or the other player. Like, to me, I didn't take those comments like I did with John Wall saying, I'm the franchise guy. You know, to me, I feel like John Wall saying the franchise guy, that's his way of saying, like, I call the shots here or I want to be the best player. I really don't think that's what KPJ or Wood were saying. So I don't think that them having that mindset or mentality will be an issue for the team.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it, I know a lot of people like to say that, oh, well, Christian Wood doesn't – actually, I just saw that again today, that Christian Wood doesn't fit the timeline for the – which I don't really understand. He's 25 years old. Most players don't get to their prime till they're closer to 30 years old. So Christian Wood, I mean, even though he's not 20, he's still – I don't think the Rockets is going to take – it's going to take the Rockets 5 years to become a good team. I don't see it that way. It's the NBA. If you do things the right way, you can be a good team the next year. I mean, look at the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, nobody expected Charlotte Hornets to be a team that would be even close to the playoffs, and they're right in the thick of it in the Eastern Conference because they drafted smart, which is funny, you know, talking about a Michael Jordan team, but they did. They draft smart. They brought in players like Terry Rozier that nobody wanted, and even I said at the time, which I still think is kind of a crazy contract because of the injury history, but Gordon Hayward, before he got hurt, he was playing great. But so that shows you right there, if you draft smart and you go out there and you get the right free agents, you can be a good team 1 year later. It doesn't have to be a 4 or 5 year period. And right before we wrap this up, I want to get your opinion on that real quickly, Zach. Do you see them as being possibly the cornerstones of the team going forward, regardless of who they get in the draft?
Yeah, I do. I do think that the cornerstone of the draft. I think it was John Wall they were talking about. John Wall not fitting the script. Because what dumb – can I say the A-word? I can't say the A-word on here? No.
It probably get edited out. Well, either way, we're good. We can always
I'll say, what stupid person would say that, bro? Like, who would say Christian Wood? To your point, somebody said,
oh yeah, it's Christian Wood,
not max player. I'm like, what are you talking about? You not see his length, his size, his versatility, his potential, his upside, his ceiling? You don't watch the game of basketball, bro. And the things he does with barely any, he has a skill set, but it's not a true big man. He uses athleticism and length to get to the rim all the time. And if you're getting 20 points off of that, like, that's raw talent. Like, what Christian was doing right now is raw talent. Like, LeBron James, when he first started, came in the league as a youngin', like, dude, like, it was raw talent that got him those points on the board. Like, he was averaging 23, 25 because he had raw talent. And you can't coach that. That's just a guy who works extremely hard or wakes up in the morning and just plays basketball, who's extremely good. But to answer your point, Christian Wood and KPJ are definitely max. And they're definitely max and contenders. I mean, contingent, whatever we're just saying.
cornerstone.
So they're definitely cornerstone guys. They have a future here in Houston. They both see it. I think they want to be here. Hopefully their mindset stays the same. Like I was telling you before, I think, you know, like we said, KPJ is ahead of schedule. And so this is good for next season. And so whoever they get in the draft, it's just going to add on to the chemistry and add on to the potential and the talent we have on the team. The question is that we should, like, I want to say is like, what are they going to do in the offseason? What are they going to do in the offseason with all these other players? Like DJ Augustine, you know, DJ Wilson, and just like Avery Bradley, and John Wall will probably be here till next year until his contract, you know, gets lessened.
And you know what? We're actually going to talk about that in the second segment. So actually, that's going to be what we're going to talk about in the second segment, kind of the Rocket season, the whole, how they're going to go forward, specifically with John Wall, because I think that's going to be the biggest, I don't know if you want to say issue, but that's going to be the biggest thing that they're going to have to figure out one way or another going into the offseason, and they may not even have a choice. But come up in the second segment, like I said, we're going to discuss the Rockets season kind of as a whole, more, you know, what they're going to do in this offseason, you know, after the draft, depending on who they get. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And continuing on here at the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. If you enjoy the show, please do us a favor and drop a review or leave us some stars. We love that and greatly appreciate that. All right, so in the next segment here, we're going to talk. We closed out the first segment talking about, you know, the future of the Rockets, whether KPJ and Christian Wood, you know, they both said they want to be franchise players. And we teased it a little bit by talking about John Wall saying that he wanted to be a franchise player, believes that he is. So let's just start there. What do you guys think about John Wall's future with the Rockets, or whether the Rockets can, you know, whether he will be a part of the future at all? Will he be traded? How he would fit in with, you know, potentially Cape Cunningham and KPJ and Wood next season?
You asking?
Yeah, you can go ahead and kick it off, Zach.
Okay. Then, so you said Christian Wood and KPJ, right? All next offseason and stuff like that?
Mainly about John Wall fits in. Yeah, John Wall and, like, basically three guards, John Wall, Cade Cunningham, Kevin Porter Jr., if they would work together, and if you would look about trying to trade John Wall, or what's your opinion on that?
I mean, this is what I wrote this before, too. I think Anthony wrote about it, too, as well. And I think we both said the same thing. When you have a guy like John Wall in your locker room, he's good to keep around because, you know, he's a good veteran. He, like you said before, if KPJ said himself that he's helping me become better at the point, it's the truth. And so, you know, Cade Cunningham is a natural point guard, as you've seen at Oklahoma State, seen in the Big 12 Big 12 championship, and partially in the NCAA tournament as well. So you want to see what it looks like. I think Cade Cunningham will come off the bench for a little bit, because you know how rookies do. They keep in the bench for a little bit, even though he's a starter automatically. I think he'd rather go to Minnesota because he'll know the start. He's going to come to Houston, he'll be like, man, I might be on the bench a little bit because of John Wall. Then it might be a little drama because John Wall's there. So you got to think about that too as well. Like, if the Rockets get Cade Cunningham, would it be drama between, you know, John Wall and the front office? Because you're getting a guy like Cade, and it's like, y'all don't trust me no more. And like I just said earlier, is John Wall in the Rockets' schedule? And so I don't think he is. I think he's in the schedule for like next year up to All-Star break, and then see what happens to him trade wise and what his compensation is and who can actually afford him. I think it possibly. Yeah. I mean, I would say the Knicks, but the the Knicks are looking at Damian Lillard, as I seen last night. They're trying to look for his availability. So I would definitely get Dame over John Wall in a heartbeat. But you want to be – this offseason got fruit because you got a lot of guards coming in. Like, Eric Gordon's out. He's getting back healthy again. DJ Augustine. Then you want to add Cade Cunningham to the mix. And then you got a front court problem as well, too, because you got DJ Wilson, and then you got – you know, Kelly Olynyk, are you going to resign him before the draft or after the draft? I would say after the draft to see what you get out if you do get the one or two pick. If you get number one pick, you get Cade Cunningham. Try to work out a deal. As like me, if I was Kelly, like the Rockets are still in a rebuilding stage. So if I was Kelly Olynyk with the Rockets, I would try to aim for 2 years, 24. That's what I would do. But if I was him, but John Wall is just a guy where you want to just. You want to cheer on. You want to, because he's had a good year. 20 points a game, then 7 assists a game as well. So he logged over 30 minutes. So I mean, I don't see why he. I would love to see what he looked like next year, though. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. They may not have much of a choice because, like you said, it's only a few teams that are going to have anywhere close to that cap space, and the Knicks are one. Honestly, I think the Knicks would be the only team possibly that would trade for him, just because, you know, we all know Thibodeau loves veterans, especially veteran point guards, and they actually have the cap space, and they're actually good enough to where they can actually compete in the playoff for once. It's been a long time, but they're actually good enough to where they can say, well, maybe we're a piece or two away from actually being closer to the top of the East instead of, you know, where they are right now, which is more like in the middle. So they'll be the only team I could see actually possibly trading for him. But the only problem is I don't think any team is trading for him unless they're getting at least one first round pick, maybe even two, because his contract is also backloaded. So he's making 40 plus million now. He's making close to 50 million towards the end of his contract.
47,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a lot of teams that are going to be jumping, trying to get a $47 million player that's come off major surgery that's in his 30s.
30, yeah.
And but like Zach said, he actually, if you look at it in a vacuum, he actually had a good season. You know, you think about it, he hasn't played in almost 2 years coming off of major, several major injuries, actually. I mean, he had the left heel injury, of course, the Achilles injury, then he had an infection after the surgery. So, I mean, if you think about a point guard in his 30s coming back after 2 years, putting up 20 points a game, I mean, that's still pretty good if you ask me. I know a lot of people don't necessarily like John Wall's game on the court, and I know a lot of people are still hung up on Harden, and he, said some stuff about not, by name, but he was talking about James Harden when he, said some of the stuff at the beginning of the year. But if you really look at it, he actually had a good season. Now, as far as how it's going to work with him, Porter, and Kay Cunningham, that's kind of a tricky thing. You're talking about three guards, and I know a lot of times rookies come off the bench, but you don't want Kay Cunningham coming off the bench. I mean, he's the type of player you want him starting day one. I mean, like you saw what Charlotte did. They tried that with LaMelo Ball, and they realized real quickly, like, that's just like a bad idea having him come off the bench. And as soon as he started, he just took off. And that's exactly what I see with Cade Cunningham. Man, he's a once in a generation player. The more I watch him, the more I scout him, the more I talk to other people that do it for a living, scout players for a living. I mean, everybody's just like, he's the consensus number one. There's definitely no doubt about it. But let me ask both of y'all because go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, so I mean, I wanted to kind of touch base on the John Wall thing as well. So, I mean, he's at $44 million next season, $47 million the last year, which is a player option. We know he's not going to turn that down because he's not going to get that back. So if the Rockets were going to trade John Wall, then they would have to attach some draft capital. Now, I've seen people saying, well, we have, late first-round picks from Milwaukee and or Portland. So people are like, well, those picks aren't really as valuable. Maybe you get rid of those to flip them. I don't really think that you flip two picks to get rid of anybody. I really don't want to get rid of any draft picks because we've had to hustle to get those, as far as how he would fit in well with Cade. I mean, it's not unorthodox to see a three guard lineup. We've seen that before for stretches. I don't know how that works to start all three, but if there's anybody that can pull that off, it would be Steven Silas. We've seen how he's very innovative with his offenses. But as far as whether I agree with you, LeSharde, in that the Rockets really won't have a choice. They're going to probably have to bring John Wall back. And then we've heard Rafael Stone and Steven Silas talk about how much they respect John Wall. Silas said he's like a coach, like an extension of him as a coach on the floor. And like you said, he has had a fairly good season. It's been up and down. He's had some good, games that shows some flashes of the player that he was before. But we also have seen some games that show a player's missed the last 2 years because of injuries. Maybe next season moving forward, again, maybe a full off season for him might help him out. One thing is for sure, he definitely still has his confidence. That's for sure.
Yes. Yeah, that hasn't went anywhere as you see, which could be a good thing especially on a young team. You always need veterans on a team. I don't care how young and great your team is, because if you look at it, I don't really know too many young teams that all of their players are younger players that actually win NBA championship. You always got to have veteran players on your team that kind of propel you to that next step. And like you said, I mean, John Wall, whether they want him on the team or not, with his contract situation, it just makes more sense to have him on the team going forward. But I wanted to ask both of y'all something, because this is something that Big Sarge kind of dropped on me when I had him on the podcast. Is there any part of you that says, well, maybe they're better off getting Mobley instead of getting Cade Cunningham, just because of the way that the roster is constructed right now?
I agree. I definitely agree.
Oh, there we go.
I definitely agree. I think Evan Mobley, man, dude, he's a generational player, man. Do y'all see him? He runs like a damn gazelle. And, like, he's like another Christian Wood, but I could think much faster, a little bit quicker, and he's defensively much better than Christian Wood. And I think he'll help out with Christian Wood as well in that paint area. Like, dude, he had a 90 in a per 100 possessions, and I know y'all love stats. He has a 90 defensive rating, a 90 defensive rating, bro. Like, dude, he can guard anybody on the court off of switches. Yeah, and we know what switches and drop coverage is because we watched how bad DeMarcus Cousins was at it. And so when you watch him do it, like how he switches on point guards and shooting guards, the twos and threes, they would guard the fours and fives and still be a magnet in the paint and still blocking everything and then being able to push the tempo and transition and finish. His post game can be a little work, but he has a post game. He has a hook shot and he has a perimeter shot. She shot 30% from three. Yeah, that takes time, but at least she's shooting the ball. 30% for a five is not that bad. If we can get into 32, 33 with John Lucas, not 34, we're doing pretty good. And most days, what was James Harden shooting? Like a 35%, 36% when he was a Rockets,
yeah,
I guess?
Usually around there, yeah.
Around that. And we knew it was a great three-point shot. He just shot a lot of them. But just to go back to Evan Mobley, man, he's just like what you would do is you would probably lose Kelly Olynyk and you would probably bring back DJ Wilson. If not, because what's the point of paying Kelly Olynyk when you got Evan Mobley? You got Evan Mobley at Christian Wood, and then you bring back DJ Wilson. I mean, he's made some strides. He had 15 points against Milwaukee in the last three games, averaging 15, 15 a game. And so, I mean, you've seen DJ Wilson. He has strides, right? I mean, he can shoot. He can shoot. I mean, but the thing about him is like, He's like a gazelle on lights, like when on defense, like, you know, when you flash the lights, he freaks out. Like, I think he's all over the place on defense and he has to find a way to get set and know what he knows what he should be doing, but there's times where you can tell he doesn't know what he's doing exactly. Yeah. And so I can see why that hurts his minutes a little bit, but when he plays on offense, he's pretty decent. I mean, when he misses hard, but DJ Wilson can make a three. He has a ceiling as well, and you want to see what happens to him because I can see him, you know, going to another NBA team and, you know, being a good starter in the future. I don't know about right now, but right now we have him, and you can groom him up for another NBA team, but keep him for at least another 2 years behind Evan Mobley, behind Christian Wood. But if you don't, like I said, if you don't get Evan Mobley, you get Kay Cunningham, you bring back Kelly Olynyk, just like that. But I think Evan Mobley would fit the Rockets much better because we'll be better defensively. And that's what I like seeing.
Yeah. And what's like your opinion on that, Anthony?
So, I mean, and my thoughts on that is I still think that you take the best player. If you get the first pick, you have to go Cade. You got to get the best player with the first pick. Now, in a scenario where you don't get the first pick, then to me, yeah, that the right move would be to get Mobley. I think that he would be a really good compliment to Christian Wood, kind of like Zach mentioned. I think you and I disagree on this, Deshard. I think you said that you would prefer to, if that scenario happened, to keep Olynyk and have him come off the bench. That's not a bad idea, but in my opinion, it's going to cost you some money to bring Kelly Olynyk back. I mean, some people are even saying 14 to 16 million a year. To me, if it gets that high, I wouldn't want to bring him back anyways. But in my opinion, if I'm getting Mobley, I think I would be comfortable letting Olynyk walk. But I would only want to get Mobley in that scenario if I don't have the first pick and I don't get Cade, because I don't think I would take Mobley over Cade at number one.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, I've looked at Evan Mobley, done a lot more research than I did it, you know, throughout the college season, of course. And I mean, Mobley is definitely, he's one of those players that eventually can become an all-star. And he has the similar game, like you said, Zach, to Christian Wood, but he's a much better defensive player. He was actually the best defensive player in the nation last year in his freshman year. And he still has potential to even be better than that. He doesn't have the greatest post-up game, but he can score around the basket with either hand. Like you said, he runs the court better than any big man in the nation last year. He blocks shots. He can switch out on the guards. I mean, of course, I mean, in my opinion, yeah, you take Cade Cunningham number one, no matter what. But if they didn't get that first overall pick, I actually wouldn't be disappointed at all if they got got Evan Mobley, just because I think that he fits perfectly next to Christian Wood. And I think Christian Wood ultimately is, to me anyway, is a better power forward than he is a center. I mean, it really doesn't matter as much these days. You can always kind of interchange the two players. So really not a huge deal who plays center, who plays power forward, because a lot of times we don't really know who plays center and power forward when both Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood are on the court. They kind of go both back and forth on who's playing what position. But, I mean, ultimately, to me, if Kelly Olynyk, like you said, Anthony, if he's talking about $14, $16 million a year, then, yeah, you have to let him walk. And I think he's kind of playing himself into that range, because there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want a big man that can shoot threes. I mean, that's kind of a – I mean, I know it's a huge thing these days. A lot of players try to do that, but not a lot of players do that well. And Kelly Olynyk, at least this last, you know, two or three months, has done that very well. So I think he's going to play his way, honestly, out of a contract for the Rockets. I just don't think they're going to have the money. If the Rockets were a championship team, I think Kelly Olynyk would be willing to take less money to come back. Right. But with the Rockets being a rebuilding team, it's going to be really hard for them to be able to pay him $14, $16 million a year, even if you were able to trade away Eric Gordon's contract and you have a cap space of around $30 million. I don't think that they'll be, you know, willing to pay him $14, $16 million a year, especially. And like you said, yeah, if they get Evan Mobley, I don't think there's pretty much any way that Kelly Olynyk's coming back, because I'm perfectly fine with DJ Wilson being the backup big off the bench. You still would need another power forward, to me, coming off the bench, because you still need more size. But it really all comes down to, you know, the draft and who they get in the draft. So it's all going to be real interesting, especially around the draft lottery next month, or actually in June, to see exactly where the Rockets land. And I think after that, that's where we'll kind of know where everything is going to be for the Rockets in the offseason. So that's going to wrap up for the second segment. Going into the last segment, we're going to take some of your actual questions, some of the listeners' questions that they sent on Twitter. And we're going to actually talk about the NBA season as a whole, because we're even though the Rockets are not going to be in the playoffs, they're still playing the playoffs, amazingly enough. So there is going to still be some teams in the playoffs and going for the championship. So we're going to discuss that in the last segment. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
Hello and welcome back for the final segment of Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo HOU on the Apollo Media Podcast Network. Again, we are joined by Zach Allen. He's a contributing NBA reporter for ESPN 97.5. And of course, like everybody knows, a Dream Shake. Actually, let me ask you real quick. You just started writing for the Dream Shake. You just had your first article for them, correct?
Yeah, I did. That was crazy, bro. I've been like reaching out to them for like a minute. And like, I kept in touch with the editor, like I told, like he said to do. And I just said, bro, I'll just do one for free, bro. He's all right, cool. So I just slid one up yesterday. I was going to give the ESPN. So, you know, I'm trying to expand some more. So let me see if I can get that 50 piece out with SB Nation. And they were cool with it. I was like, cool. So.
Yeah, that's cool, because, you know, as all of us Rockets fans, before I got into it, I've been, of course, following a Dream Shake, and I can still follow them, unlike some other people who I won't name on the show. Anthony may know who I'm talking about, another longtime Rockets blogger. Well, I'll leave that for another time. As we get into this, we get into this final segment, we're going to actually answer some of y'all questions that y'all posted to us on Twitter. The first one was actually from Don Knock, who, if you aren't already following, you definitely should follow him, because he actually takes the hard task of going through, if not all of them, majority of the podcasts and giving a great recap on those podcasts when it's specifically talking about the Rockets, which I definitely appreciate. Yeah, which I definitely appreciate, because I just can't do most podcasts anymore. So if you ain't following him, definitely follow at Don Knock on Twitter. He actually wanted to ask us, where do y'all rank KPJ's 50-point, 11-assist game amongst Rockets' regular season performances? So, Zach, I'll start with you.
Where do I rank? One more time. Ask me one time.
He basically asked him, what are you ranking among Rockets regular season games? So, like, for instance, Rockets Red Glare, who's also on Twitter, actually gave his top five. He said, like, for instance, he said Harden's game winner, T-Max 11 points in 30 seconds, Harden's 60-point triple-double, EJ's 50-point game, which I've totally forgot about again, and KBJ's 50 points, 11 assists. So, actually, he ranked in his top five, but I won't ask you where you rank it because there's been so many games, but like, where do you rank as far as, like, let's say first year Rockets players' performances?
Hey, you're missing, first year, but like, y'all missing another one. So check this out. So y'all remember the Denver Nuggets when they, in 2015, when they played the Rockets, I think it was 2014. Yeah. This year they went to the Western Conference Finals, I think. And I was at the game. It's when they had the red and yellow. They had the muscle uniform still with Dwight Howard and James. So I went to the game, sat behind the goal. Dog, James Harden went out with 50. The game was over. I leave. Like, I'm about to leave Toyota. And I hear James Harden with 3, a 50 ball. I was like, whoa. James had 50? Like, damn. He was going off that game too. But just with a rank that game, rank Kevin Porter 50 points, man. What would that be? I mean, Eric Gordon's definitely 5, bro. This got to be 5 because it was a surprise. James Harden's 60 ball. Like, it was probably like 4, if not 3. Because, like, we all knew James can do that crap. Come on, man. He can do that in his sleep. Yeah. He can get 70 if he wanted to. I think, Kevin Porter, Trace McGrady is definitely number 1. Like, come on, man. 33 points in 13 seconds. I mean, 13 points in 33 seconds. That's impressive, bro. And to win the game, that was my number one moment because I was 10 years old when that. I was 9 years old when that happened. So I'm definitely going to keep that right there. I got to put Kevin Porter as number 2, bro. It's got to be number 2. Like, it's got to be number 2 because he's 20 years old getting 50 points. That doesn't happen at all. Like, that shouldn't happen at all. Like, and then he did it against the NBA's best defenders, PJ Tucker and Drew Holiday, bro. Yeah. And then he was talking crap about it. He was saying, like, y'all see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
I was making him slide. I was like, oh, man, he was. Like, he had Drew Holiday stumbling, bro. It's one thing if he got a 50 against, like, the Pelicans or 50 against, like, the T-Wolves or the Kings. But he did it against one of the NBA's best defenses and the best players. So I got to give it to KP at number 2.
Jim. What's your opinion on that, Anthony?
So first off, we have to give you even more credit to Don Knock. I mean, this man listens to Brian Windhorst podcast.
Exactly.
You know how hard that is? You know how hard it is to sit through an hour of Windhorst every week? Sometimes he does that twice a week.
Yes.
So
it's impressive.
But I mean, so that's a tough question because there's been so many games. And I feel like Harden has like 10 of them by himself.
Yeah.
So when I look at it, to make it, I guess maybe a little bit more controversial. I don't know. I think I would probably put him above any of the games that Harden had, only because I feel like most of the 50 and 60-point games that Harden had were in blowouts. I feel like most of those games, the Rockets blew. Like, I remember the 60-burger against the Knicks, I want to say.
Yeah, that was like, that close one, yeah.
Yeah, I think most of the other 50, 60 points – and to clarify, I'm saying this game is better than Harden's 50 and 60 point game, not any games that he had, just the 50 and 60 burgers that he had, because I think those are all blowouts. This was a really close game, and the Rockets won this game because of KPJ, and they're playing against the best defense, as you said. You know, he did that on arguably the best defensive guard in the league as well. So although Harden has had a lot of them, I think I would probably, off the top, I feel like I would put this above those 50 and 60-point games. The T-Mac game was – I still think I would put that ahead of this because, I mean, 11 in less than a minute is insane. That's like, that, like, shouldn't happen at all. You know, if you're down 11 with a minute left, the game's over. You know, so I think I would still put that T-Mac at the top. Now, I know there's a lot of games that Hakeem had that would probably be, like, top 5 by himself. But just for the sake of, this podcast, and also I wasn't around for a lot of those games that Hakeem Olajuwon, had amazing performances. So I have to leave him out, even though I hate to do that. But from a standpoint of more recent games, I think I would still say this ranks 2nd.
Yeah, and kind of bring it full circle, just because I am older, a little bit older than both of y'all. And I actually remember that game between the Rockets and the Spurs in game six of the West Conference Finals, where Hakeem just absolutely destroyed David Robinson. That's the still the greatest game I've ever watched from a Houston Rockets, because not only because who Hakeem was going against, he was going against the quote-unquote MVP. That game also put them into the NBA Finals in a year that no one thought that they was going to get to the Finals, because they struggled for most of the year. And just off the top of my head, the numbers might be a little bit off, but he put up like 36 points or 38 points, 18 rebounds, had four blocks, two steals. I mean, to do that in a conference championship game against, at the time, supposed to be the best player in the league, that's still hands down the best game I've ever watched, and I'll probably never forget that game. But KPJ's game was – I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere as far as – because the game before, like Zach said, he actually had his worst game of the year, and Coach Salas pointed that out, that that's one of the biggest things about him. He's able to bounce back real quickly. He actually had one of his worst games of the year, and to come back and put up 50 points against Jrue Holiday and, you know, P.J. Tucker, and even without Giannis there, Milwaukee Bucks are still a really good team. They've beaten a lot of good teams without Giannis this year. So to go out there and put up 50 points and 11 assists, and like Anthony had been pointing out, the efficiency that he did it was just off the charts. It's just crazy how great a game he had, and to do it in a win, and to do it in a close game, and to do it to where if he didn't have one or two of those points, they probably lose that game. So it was definitely, I'll never forget this game. And, you know, hopefully it leads to something more than, you know, just occasionally having great games. I think this is kind of going to be the springboard for not just him. Something we haven't pointed out was Christian Wood had another great game. He's actually had, like the last week, he's had several just great games where he's just been probably the first or second best player on the court for either team. He had a great game. And then Kelly Olynyk had a great game. It was just a great game overall in a unfortunately a long and at times bad season. So, that was definitely something that a lot of Rockets fans were definitely been waiting for all year. So we're going to move on to the second question here from Dex Hinton, who actually is one of our coworkers here at Apollo HOU. And you can follow him at Dex Hinton on Twitter.
He's a great follow.
Not just for basketball. He kind of pop culture in general, he talks about. So he's definitely a great follower on Twitter. And he actually asked a question of something we talked about a little bit in the second segment. He wants to know, do y'all think Cade is the best fit with KPJ and Christian Wood of this class, or is there another player who fits better alongside those two? And that's something we actually talked about a little bit with Evan Mobley. Would you rather draft Evan Mobley or not? So I'll ask you, just if you're talking about just Cade Cunningham, how do you see him fitting with – we're going to, for now, take John Wall out of the equation, because if Cade Cunningham is drafted, he's going to be there for the long term. So let's just say Cade Cunningham, how does he fit with KPJ and Christian Wood going forward? Let's just say 2 or 3 years down the road.
So in my opinion, I guess I'll go first on this.
Yeah.
I think Cade does fit with KPJ and Christian Wood, especially in a scenario that there's no John Wall. First off, I mean, Cade is a great scorer. He's also a someone who can also facilitate. I think, you know, having him and KPJ in the same backcourt could be dangerous. They could also play off each other. I think we've seen a little bit how Porter can benefit from playing alongside a facilitator. I think Porter also could play a lot off the ball as well. And having a big man like a Christian would also do wonders, I think, for Cade. So if the scenario is Cade, KPJ, and Wood, I think that's a really good trio right there. I guess I'll just stop there, and then we'll keep going based on what you guys have.
Yeah. So what's your opinion on that, Zach?
I definitely agree. I think Cade, I'm falling off of Anthony Duckett and of course you, Shard. I'm definitely gonna agree because Cade's a great fit. I mean, he's a natural born one. Like I said recently, he is the number one like player in the draft. And like I said, he's a natural one, not a natural PG. And I'm pretty sure Kevin Porter can learn a lot from him. And I got to call him KPJ. I know he likes being called KPJ or Scoot.
Yeah.
So Scoot, like, can learn a lot from Cade Cunningham because he's beyond his years when it comes to playing the one. And I think he'd be a great fit inside of Silas' offense. It's a great city. I think he would love living in Houston. I think everybody named Mama lives in Houston. If you're a retired NFL player, you're a retired NBA player, MLB, it doesn't matter. You're living in Houston, Texas. Even Matt says he loves living in Houston, which is pretty cool. So I always tell folks, I say, look, man, Cade Cunningham, 6'5", a great defender, fights off pick and rolls. As we've seen Drew Holiday do, he's great at doing that too as well. So, I mean, pick and rolls does not stop Cade Cunningham. So and the good thing about it, he does not switch. So that fighting is what we need in our defense. So I love Cade's game. He's 7'1" wingspan, which is ridiculous. Can shoot a three ball extremely well, shot up 37% with Oklahoma State. Could be wrong, could be 38, but I mean, the guy was unbelievable. So, and his athleticism is off the charts. So, you'll see him dunk on a lot of folks in the NBA. So, I can't wait to see him become a Rocket, if not somewhere else in the NBA. But me, like I said, my guy, the Dex, and I see you clap back at somebody yesterday, which was really funny. I'm definitely going to take Evan Mobley. That's just me.
And see, we got it there. So, now we have two people that said that because, like we said, when Big Star said that on the pod, I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of surprised because I haven't seen too many people say that on Twitter. I don't think it's as crazy as people think it is, but just my opinion, I still think Cade Cunningham is kind of he's kind of the 1A. I think Evan Mobley is more of the 1B, 1C, if that makes sense. But like I said, I wouldn't be too upset if they didn't get Cade Cunningham in the first pick. Let's say they got the second pick. Once you get past that second pick, that's when your cards gets a little bit dicey, at least in my opinion. But we'll leave that for another episode. We're going to have plenty of draft podcasts coming up because, let's be honest, once the season's over with, that's what everybody's going to be talking about when it comes to the Rockets point of view. But as far as the NBA point of view, as we wrap up the podcast here, I want to get y'all opinion real quickly on what's kind of y'all overall take on the going into the playoffs. Who do y'all kind of see as the favorites coming out of the East and coming out of the West? Because just my opinion, I still think it's the Lakers in the West, even though Utah and Phoenix are at the top right now. I still think it's the Lakers, especially I think people are sleeping on Andre Drummond. I think he's going to make a big difference in the playoffs. I think he's a better version of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. So I think it's still the Lakers to lose. And in the East, as hard as it for me to say it, I mean, I don't see – if they're healthy, I don't see anybody beating the Brooklyn Nets in the East. They just got too much firepower. They got, too many players they can go to in the clutch. So I just don't really think anybody's beating them in the East. But let me get your opinion on that. I'll start with you, Anthony. Well, what's your kind of your opinion on who's going to come out of the East and who's going to come out of the West?
I mean, I pretty much agree with you. I still think the Lakers make it out of the West, although I think Lakers and Phoenix would be a hell of a series in the Western Conference Finals. Utah has – you mentioned Utah and Phoenix. They both have had really good seasons as well. I don't think I'm sold on Utah making it to the Western Conference Finals. I still think that Western Conference Finals series ends up being Lakers-Phoenix, especially depending on where they finish off at. But out of the West, I've got the Lakers. I mean, if you have a healthy LeBron and a healthy AD alone, I mean, you would probably be pretty confident of your chances, regardless of what seed you land with or who you face. And then there's really no home court advantage as well. I mean, it's minimal fans in the stands also. So it doesn't really matter, what their seed is. You mentioned Drummond. That's also a great addition for them. Schroeder's played fairly good this year for them also. In the East, I also think that it's going to be Brooklyn if they can be fully healthy. Now, that is a big if, I think, especially lately. Because, Harden's hamstring got worse, or he had a setback. Seems like he had a couple setbacks. KD is actually missing games, although KD had like 40 points in like 20 minutes or something like that the other night, which was insane. Not really as worried about Kyrie from a health standpoint. He has some comments recently I think would be interesting for a strategy against him in the playoffs. To me, it's going to end up being Lakers Nets, I think, in the finals.
Yeah. So I'm definitely stuck on Lakers. It's always Lakers to me. Like, two people you don't ever doubt in sports is Tom Brady and LeBron James. Yeah. Just because the Lakers are just not playing good basketball. Well, they're playing decent basketball. They're playing – when LeBron James and AD was out, they were, what, 5-6, 6-7? And and you got to give credit to Frank Vogel. I mean, Frank Vogel's one hell of a coach. He's actually – I mean, you got to be a great coach to coach that without having AD, without having LeBron, and then just getting Drummond for a short period of time and still being able to win games was impressive. So that shows how good their depth is, for one. And when LeBron and AD get back, I mean, they're going to come back clicking on all cylinders. And even though they lost last night against the Kings, I think it was them trying to figure out, like, this is where you can see doing. You can see some of the press conference titles that were talking about. Basically, to him and LeBron and AD, LeBron and Andre Drummond talking about the pick and roll situation. Don't slip too early. Just set that pick and stay. So it's a chemistry thing, but and it's going to be easy to figure out between that roster. But when you come to the Nets roster, I mean, one day I'm saying Sixers, one day I'm saying Nets. But this is why I would say Sixers. I'm still going to say Nets. So let's keep a scenario, right? So the Sixers, right, they're great. They're greatly coached, thanks to Doc Rivers. Ben Simmons is definitely could possibly win Defensive Player of the Year. I know y'all, we argued about that a long time ago. Yeah. Just to finish a note. They have good shooting around Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is up his offensive package. Great defensive player. And then you go to the Nets, right? The Nets have everything. I mean, they have shooters. They have a little more depth now. Blake Griffin is playing pretty good for what he does, his role. But the thing about them is chemistry. And so you see what Kyrie and Durant look like. You see what James and Kyrie look like. You see what James and Kyrie look like for a little bit. Somebody said 7 games, but those three been together. But you need more games than that. And so the thing about it is when the Sixers defense gets tough, how much pressure are they going to put on those three to make adjustments, to make switches, to make cuts? And James Harden ain't cutting, bro. That's for sure. He might cut a little bit. He might cut a little bit. That little backdoor cut, he might do that. But other than that, man, when it comes down to a situation and shit, when they're down by 10 and the Sixers defense is killing them, how are they going to react to it? Because it's chemistry-wise. Because who's going to take the shots, right? It was Kyrie. It was Durant. And James Harden was sitting back and just passing the ball. I'm pretty sure James might take a back seat to it. Because Kyrie and Kevin Durant are better than him in the playoffs. I mean, you look at Kyrie Irving in game six, game seven against the Warriors in 2016. You look at Durant in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, even though, you know, I think Kyrie Irving's had more success because he won, I think it's gonna be real interesting to see what those three look like. But it's just like, what type of chemistry will they have in the playoffs? I don't think it will be completely all the way good because they haven't played much together. And so, like, if the defense gets tougher, like, what are they going to do? I've been preaching the same thing the last 3 minutes. Yeah. So I must say Lakers Nets, but it could be Lakers Sixers.
Yeah. And I would say for the first time, it's going to be a stress-free playoffs for most Rockets fans. We are able to just watch and not have to worry about, you know, it's Harden going to this and Rockets going to that. We just sit back and watch and let everybody else, you know, have their heartaches over what's going to happen in playoffs. But before we wrap it up, I want to thank you again, Zach, for joining. As usual, you are great to talk to, as I've talked to you several times on your podcast. Okay. And definitely enjoy having you on. And of course, Anthony, you know, we always have a good time. You know,
Hey, quick question. So somebody put Kelly Oubre, they said Kelly Oubre for Eric Gordon. Would y'all agree? No?
No.
I like it.
I'll just say real quick, just because I don't see Kelly Oubre getting any better than he already is. I think he's who he is. He's who he's going to be. And I just don't like tying up money in players that have already kind of peaked at an early age. But that's just me. And that's, you know, that's definitely a conversation we can have at another time. But I, you know, just me personally, I'll register Eric Gordon just to get the cap space. But, you know, again, that's just my opinion on that. But but before we leave, why don't you let everybody again know where we can find you, find all your work at, Zach?
So like I said, you can find me on Twitter, Renzo D Don. So R-E-N-D-O-T-H E-D-O-N, like Renzo the Don, like Nas. So, and then you'll see I work for Dream Shake, SB Nation, and I do ESPN Houston as well. So you can find me at those, read my articles, podcast as well. Also, I have a podcast named Zoe's Podcast. So y'all can also check that out too as well. Apple, right, again, Spotify.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. And again, thank you, Anthony, as usual, for joining. So that's going to do it for today's episode. So if you have already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
And be sure to follow at Apollo Houston for blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Houston sports content not found anywhere else.
As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.